hold that glittering technology in your hands, you touch the screen of your iPad, and you can just about believe that you are the master.
This is the Cinderella of the IT world. Everybody knows about Steve Jobs and iPhones and iPads. But there is this whole unknown world of what I call and what are known as computer business systems. And these are control systems for businesses, large corporations, but small businesses can use them too.
Oxford and NYU scholar Simon Head says don't be fooled by techie gadgets. There is as much investment into vast networked computer control and monitoring systems in the workplace as there is in flashy new consumer devices. Head tells this disturbing technology story in his book, Mindless: Why Smarter Machines Are Making Dumber Humans, or humans who simply feel dumber, like this former employee at Amazon in this BBC documentary who resigned after spending days hooked up to a monitoring scanner that watched his every move.
Like a lot of people, I'm used to Amazon as a customer, and it's convenient and bright. So I sort of thought if I was going to go and work for the company, it would sort of be a happy, positive place, but it seems to be the complete opposite, to be quite honest.
Big companies including Amazon, Target, Verizon, and Walmart use monitoring systems to measure performance down to the second, storing it in giant databases. They use the data to gain greater and greater control over workers. Simon Head says millions of workers already feel the weight of these networked eyes and ears on the workplace.
Well, they bear profoundly on your life. They bear on every single second that you're in the Amazon fulfillment center, because you have work to do. You have to take packages from the packaging station to the shelf. And if you're an Amazon employee, you're tagged with a computer which tells you what route to take in these gigantic warehouses, and it tells you how much time you have to do it. And if you're behind schedule a little bit, it starts to bleep in an absolutely infernal way. I mean, the BBC did a documentary. It got somebody into an Amazon fulfillment center with a tag on it. It showed them being beeped, and it showed the supervisor saying, you were several seconds over your schedule, and if you go on like that, you'll get a demerit, and if you accumulate enough demerits, you're out. And this is really a world that descends from the assembly line of the Ford era. There is no difference.
And these beeps are all connected to vast computer networks that are recording data on people's performance, on their absences, on what they're doing, related to video data. It's virtually limitless the amount of data that these systems can take on all kinds of employees.
Absolutely. It's absolutely limitless. But the key feature of these systems is that they can apply to practically anything. They can apply to physicians, areas like so-called customer relations management, human resource management, financial services, they apply, and they share these characteristics of subjecting employees to rigorous regimes of targeting and timing.
How do they make humans dumber? And use examples from the financial industry, as you do in your book, as well as places like Walmart.
I think they make them dumber in two ways. The first and less obvious way is to impose these rigorous regimes of timing. You have to accomplish the task in a certain period of time. The effect of this to something like call centers, for example, there's a difference between, in the call center, allowing the employee to figure out a solution to a problem which the customer has, whether it's a problem with the product, and having a so-called expert system do it, so that the function of the employee is to feed the case history into the expert system, and the expert system gives the answer.
So therefore, employees have little discretion. They're basically following instructions that are right in front of their faces, and it makes it easy for the entire enterprise to be like a collective group of lemmings going over the cliff, which was what you describe at Goldman Sachs, where expensive and sophisticated technology was used to create a financial system that just went off the cliff.
Right. But these systems are very dysfunctional, because when they deal with transactions between humans, even if it's a call center, there is great complexity in understanding what people are saying. They often don't speak in a clear way, and in understanding the psychological undercurrents underlying what they say. But if you look at Goldman Sachs and the whole fantastic mortgage machine, which ran amok in the run-up to the financial crisis, then you have these systems being misapplied in the case of estimating, for example, the creditworthiness of people applying for really expensive mortgages. Instead of looking carefully at whether they ought to have a mortgage, you use a so-called expert system to do it for you. And you can game the expert system to give a mortgage to practically anybody. And that's what they did, with disastrous consequences, not only for the U.S. economy, but for the entire global economy.
What is the balanced scorecard that seems to be the current huge fad in these kinds of systems being applied in the workplace?
The balanced scorecard is to use information systems to specify targets for all levels of the enterprise. So actually, there's a real parallel with the way the old planning system worked in the Soviet Union. What you can do with information systems is to change the targets in the light of changed economic circumstances. And then, having set the targets, you have monitoring systems to estimate in real time whether people are meeting the targets.
So instead of Stalin's five-year plan, you've got the balanced scorecard's five-nanosecond plan.
That's right. And what's so ironic is that there's this tremendous fuss, quite rightly, about the NSA scandal and the monitoring that Snowden uncovered. But there is this gigantic apparatus of monitoring and surveillance in the corporate world already.
And who is the, you know, workforce target here?
Almost the whole workforce.
Finally, if you're a CEO in this environment, can you run a gigantic corporation from a spreadsheet on your desk, even a video game on your desk? Or does this take power away from the very top of corporate management?
I think it centralizes power, and I think that's one of the enormous attractions of it. It concentrates great power. It's easy for them to exercise control to an office in Japan as it is to the office next door. It eliminates distance.
So the verdict here, at least as far as your research is concerned, is that this proliferation of these kinds of systems would tend to work against innovation, not necessarily encourage it.
Well, I think it's paradoxical. When I first did research on these systems way back in the late 90s, these software startups in Silicon Valley, they had all the sort of characteristics of a dynamic, hip, fluid California startup. But sometimes, if you ask the CEO, you know, what do these systems do? I remember one of them saying to me, these systems are great for managers. The managers can know and do everything. So you have the paradox of the innovativeness and hipness of the companies, and certainly the non-hipness of what they're actually doing to the businesses which take on their systems.
Simon Head is the author of Mindless, Why Smarter Machines Are Making Dumber Humans. Thanks so much.
Pleasure.
Some stories from you on control and technology. Rochester, New York, I can still sew, chop wood for fuel. I think I can live without Facebook. Be nice to actually write a letter again. I don't think it controls me or it. However, it does make things in certain respects easier. Or Honolulu, Hawaii, it controls me. It makes so much information available immediately that my memory is diminished. However, it spreads that knowledge and allows for working more efficiently. Overall, I don't like smartphone dependency. Me either. Share your story at 877-8MYTAKE. Join the conversation at thetakeaway.org, where you can also vote for the greatest TV character of all time. Look for the SmackDown. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.